Welcome to The Scaling Show, in collaboration with the South African Chamber of Commerce in the UK. We've seen dramatic market shifts over the past few weeks, and businesses have had to answer many questions. However, amongst the uncertainty, there are a number of innovative tech companies pushing the boundaries. In this series, we talk to those founders, CEOs, and industry veterans on the front line of innovation. I'm Richard Doty, founder and host of The Scaling Show. Today on the show, we have Thomas Pays, serial entrepreneur and co-founder of Ozo. Hi, Thomas. How's it going in South Africa today?
Hey, Richard. It's blue sky and sunshine, so everything is good.
Fantastic. Let's dive right into it. It would be very interesting for us to know a bit about yourself and also a bit about the business that you're in.
Yes, for sure. So as you can hear from the accent, I'm French. I've been now in South Africa for almost 16 years. I'm a techpreneur, as some like to call me, in the sense that, you know, I specialized in building businesses within the technology and digital space from the ground up. And I've been doing so since basically arriving in South Africa following my first year here. It's been a passion ever since, which made it very interesting in the sense that means I don't have to work a day of my life. You know, it's a beautiful journey with the ups and downs, but one that has been pretty extraordinary, especially given the opportunity that I've been able to do that across well over 5 continents in the past 15 years.
Well, that was very interesting. And could you give us a bit of information about the businesses that you're in?
For sure. So I basically currently head as a co-founder and CEO of Ozo. Ozo is a payment company in South Africa that specializes in online banking payment, or as locally called instant EFT. And our purpose is to simplify payment and provide access to payment to anyone, from the heart of the rich suburb to pretty much the heart of rural and township areas in South Africa.
Oh, very interesting. I mean, the payment space, and obviously it sounds like the digital space, is quite a big topic of discussion right now. And what are your thoughts on this space post COVID-19?
I don't know if it's post, like it literally feels like we're living it every day, you know? I hear some people that say that from a digital perspective, what should have taken 5 years is the only positive outcome that you'll see around that crisis from a digital adoption. Because what you would have seen pretty much 3 months ago is elderly people will still basically keep the habit of going to the local grocery store and keep that habit for the decades to come, because that's what they've known already for the past 40, 50 years. Now, what you're seeing is that for the first time, an entire population globally has literally been forced to embrace digital technology, to order online, to create account and pay online. So the past few months, I cannot agree more with the comments that have been made. I definitely allowed an evolution that would have taken a few years. But more importantly, I think that the really benefit that comes out of it is that by removing the friction and empowering people with the simplicity of being able to transact online and order online, you've converted people now moving forward that will remain clients moving forward, which I think is one of the points that we really need to consider at the end of the day as one of the silver lining.
Sounds very interesting, because as you know, one of the challenges pre-COVID was adoption. And it sounds like from what you just mentioned is people are rapidly adopting the digital technology, and that's helping people, I guess, move forward very quickly into the new space, and also helping. Absolutely. Yeah.
If you look at it, I mean, I'm not that old. I'm 38. But I mean, let's rewind 3-5 years ago. I can give you 2 examples. I mean, even 8 years ago, I think that gives my age away. I don't know if you remember when WhatsApp was $5.99 to get unlimited lifetime access on the App Store. Like, literally, that's how it started. I was the first one to think, like, why do I need to pay $5.99 to get an app? You know, like, I have the same consideration about WhatsApp today, and you realize that anyone would pay $5.99. But to that same extent, let's take the example of Uber. When Uber came into South Africa, the first 3 years, I was the first one to say, and it wasn't that popular either, I was the first one to say, I can call a taxi, you know? We all so set in our old ways where we got old habit that dies hard. But the first time I had to use Uber, literally, I probably felt really stupid thinking, how could I have been that naive and be the naysayer with my friend that tried to basically explain to me that this was a life changer? So I think this is one of those cases, you know, nothing has really changed. But this time, you know, like people are really forced to embrace it.
Yeah, totally agree. And great examples. And, you know, what opportunities can you foresee for your business and also the industry going forward?
You know, to us, it's all about empowering people. When I look at my career, it's also my sixth business. I've been very lucky to make some successful exit in the past and realize that there's a stage in your life where you build businesses, not for money, but because you want to create solutions that are going to impact millions of people. You find yourself in that situation where, how can I remove friction? How can I empower people that never used online payment solution, either in-store or online? So South Africa is an example. You know, there's 8 million credit cards. That's a sort of penetration that there is from a credit card perspective for Visa, MasterCard. But there's 49 million bank accounts. So the reason why people in South Africa don't have credit cards is because it's too expensive. The fee associated with it are enormous. And I stand to be corrected, but I think the salary on average here is about 1,500 Rand, let's say maybe 2,000 Rand at best, which converted into pounds should be maybe about 100 pounds. Is that correct, per month?
Yeah, pretty accurate.
So people can't afford cards, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to order online. That doesn't mean that they want to benefit from being able to not carry cash, because cash is a big challenge, especially when you talk about what's happening with COVID-19. It's everything about contactless, touchless, and I want to be able to do the transaction from the comfort of my device without having to move to any location. So this, obviously, from a contactless company, it's been a tremendous impact to our business. But to us, it's been even better to be able to impact as many more businesses. Because one of the drives about OZO for us is our social responsibility, is how can we empower millions of South Africans to transact conveniently, but how can we also empower SMEs and businesses that during this pandemic are really struggling financially? So for us, you know, what was interesting is April last year already, we took upon ourselves as a scale-up and we said, look, we understand what it takes to be successful. We're very fortunate to be where we are today. How could we give back to people? And we came with two approaches that we saw a big need in. The first one was NPO and NGO that receive millions, if not billions, in donation. And we're like, they should not have to pay for transacting and receiving those donations. We should make it free of charge. So that was the first initiative that we've done. And then the second one was anyone that used OZO for the first year, we want it to be free for them. Because we understand when you're a new business or when you're a small business, even for that matter, that it's very important for you to look at every single penny that you spend. And it became even more relevant when this COVID-19 crisis basically came about. So from an opportunity perspective, what it allowed us is to put ourselves in a position where we could give back to everyone locally, from businesses to consumer. But even from an industry moving forward, it allowed us to also get an acceleration of uptake of our product so that we could educate our consumer and merchant a lot quicker and have a better impact in the ecosystem.
Those type of initiatives sound like they're starting to transcend the market, definitely out in South Africa. And at least I've definitely seen some of your updates recently impact lives of both SMEs and actual people on the ground. Did you want to talk about some of those activities that you and OZO are going through right now?
Yes, I can see you leading in a specific direction. The life of a fintech is 7 days a week. So we never sleep. Even in the shower, we think about work. And about a month ago, you know, like what is very, very sad in South Africa is 1 in 4 South Africans don't have money or access to food. That's 1/4 of South Africans that have no money for food. This tells you about the challenges that we're facing as a nation. And one of our clients reached out to us and could really associate with the cultures that we've had in our business. And this client was the World Cup winner, rugby player, Brian Abana, who started this foundation, the Brian Abana Foundation. You know, for us, it's always about giving and donating. This is what we do and we've always done. And we love empowering people from township because we can associate with that background. You know, like as much as I didn't grow up in a township, I came to South Africa with less than 500 rand in my pocket. To put it in perspective, that's about 25 pounds. So it's not a lot to basically lay a foundation for success. But what was really, really heartbreaking for us is that there's so many people that overnight used to get paid weekly in South Africa that did not get any wages. And I wanted to really do something. And what was very interesting is all of a sudden we got that opportunity with Brian, which was, how can we basically do something together to impact the nation in our own way? And for the first time, not only could we donate, but we could see where our money would go in terms of buying the food. We could help package that food. And more importantly, we could also basically partake in the logistic and delivery with the Red Cross, the Brian Abana Foundation, and the other team in those townships. So for the past almost months, this has basically been our Thursday, which has been about packing food. This Thursday alone, we packed about 200 parcels. Each parcel can feed a family for a period of 4 weeks, almost a full month. And this Saturday, we found ourselves basically going with Brian, his team, and the other team, and the Red Cross, basically delivering those parcels door-to-door to elderly, to people unprivileged and handicapped that are not basically being served. And that was really fulfilling. You know, being able to see the smiles that we could bring onto these much-needed community was very valuable. And I think one of the things that the Red Cross told me as a message when we started this initiative was, we're saying to Brian Abana, as I said, you know what is critical is family can go without eating for 4 to 5 days. Now, you must understand, I'm a father of three. So this really echoed to me, like, how can a family go without eating for 4 or 5 days and it being okay? And he said, but the one thing that a family cannot do is go without hope for more than a week. And by you going into those township, this is what you give to those families. And I invite anyone that's listening to that podcast to actually follow the journey and the stories that we have. And this is really what's been the most instrumental, is seeing the hope that people gain by just us basically going through that initiative and having Brian himself getting his hand dirty and delivering it door to door.
Yeah, wow, that's truly amazing and very impactful. And I think just to go back to one of the things that you mentioned at the top of the show, very empowering. I think you guys are achieving a lot. Great. So just moving forward, back to Ozo for a second, what are your plans over the coming 6 months and how are you going to be going about achieving those?
From a business perspective, there's a lot of innovation that's coming into place. We've basically launched our patented technology, which is Ozo PIN, which is a first one-click payment based on the bank rail. And that's something that we've seen incredible results over the past few months of basically driving it in beta with certain clients, to the point where we've even seen 100% growth in a space of 2 weeks. So we're very excited about that. And it's providing an alternative payment option. It's a lot more cost effective. We've got some really exciting expansion. Our goal is to grow in the rest of the 54 African countries and other third world countries, such as Brazil and Turkey. More exciting, but that I can't talk too much about it. We're busy finalizing our Series B, which is something that we'll be able to hopefully announce in by the end of this year.
Well, so you guys are definitely busy. And what's the biggest tip you can give our listeners who are on the cusp of scaling their business right now?
Well, this is something that we're going through at the moment, which is obviously how do you free time for your team and also provide them with a significant visibility for them to overachieve. I think we all come from a similar background where we want to understand what we need to do and more importantly, what can we do to even over-deliver? You know, add that little extra that makes it extraordinary. So from our perspective, all we drive at the moment is how can we make sure that we got the right automation. How can we make sure that we provide the right visibility across our entire team? I mean, you must look at it from our business. We at the moment just about 45 people. We have 4 people started this month. We've got another 5 next month. We're planning on doubling this by the end of the year, so reaching over 100 people. And then 200 by next year. So it's all about basically making sure that we bring efficiency and streamline in the business. So if there's one thing that I can give to anyone, is from a foundation, the sooner you can bring that visibility and automation in your business, the easier it will be when you need to scale.
Great, great tips. And lastly, as we finish up and wind up, how can people find you and connect with you and your business?
So very simple. Our company name, as I say, is OZOW. So it's OZOW. Pretty unique name. It's very easy to Google it and find it. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn, where we're the most proactive, and also YouTube. And then if anyone is interested in learning more about our journey, I often share on a weekly basis some updates, either via video or post on LinkedIn and Facebook. So you can follow me. And my username is Thomas Payes, P-A-Y-S.
Thanks for coming on the show today. It's been absolutely fascinating to hear from you how you're empowering people on the ground, how you're helping our communities, and also how OZOW is starting to scale and scale quite aggressively over the next couple of years anyway. Thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, Richard. And as a last comment, if you allow me, if anyone wants to make a change within South Africa, any donation that can help feed a family, if they're willing to go to the brandabanafoundation.org, that would be greatly appreciated, and that will go a long way. Thanks for having me on your show, Richard.
Thank you, mate. Speak soon.
Speak soon. Bye.
If you like the show, please share with one other person who you think will benefit, and follow me on LinkedIn. It would be great to connect with you.